This morning, all over the world, Christians come together to honor the God of heaven, sing songs of praises to Him, pray to Him, listen to His word proclaimed, and to remember His Son who loved us and died for us. I'm so thankful we can do that here today. As I think about brethren, some that I know and many, many, many that I do not know, engaging in these same activities this morning, it warms my heart, and I hope it warms yours, to realize that we are part of the beautiful body of Christ, the worldwide body of believers, saved by grace, all of us, every last one of us, baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins, and able to fellowship one another and God by His wonderful grace. We are, my friends, privileged to be here today, as so many of our brethren are all over the world. Thank you for being here. But remember, it's your privilege. It's your privilege. And it's mine. And I was privileged to take a trip to Guatemala from November 19th to November 28th. And I'm thankful to the church here for sending me, along with Elliot Adams and David Rafe, who I'll be talking about in just a minute, to visit this country, and particularly the brethren that we support there, in evangelizing and working with the churches in that great area. We left, as I said, November 19th, flew down to Guatemala via Atlanta, of course. And it's not a long trip. We got up really early in the morning. We were in Guatemala by before 1 o'clock that afternoon. So a pleasant flight. Got down there and got to work right away. This is a little closer up view of the country of Guatemala. It's bordered by Mexico and Belize to the north, and Honduras and El Salvador to the south. Most of the population of Guatemala is in the southern half. By far, probably 80-90% of the population is in the southern half, and that's where our work was focused, especially the southern third of the country. So I'm showing you this closer up map of the southern half of Guatemala, to show you the places that we visited and stayed with brethren that we support, the families of the men that we support in every one of these places. We started out in Palin, which is just south of the capital of Guatemala City. We went from there to Rio Bravo. Palin is where Luis Carlos works. Rio Bravo is where Jose Humberto lives. We spent 3 days there. Then we went to Bracitos, which is where Geronimo Koch is. Spent a couple of days there. And then up to Cantel, Pasha, which is just kind of a suburb of Quetzaltenango, the larger city there. And spent a couple of days with Hilmar and his family. So that's where we were. That's sort of the track that we took. Traveled back from Cantel to Guatemala City to fly out on Monday morning, this last Monday morning. There are some churches that we visited outside of these areas, and I put little blue dots there so you can kind of see some of the other areas if you can make out those blue dots. Several other churches besides the ones in the cities that we were visiting. So this is Team Guatemala, the seven guys that worked together for much of this time. You might recognize that guy on the far left. That's Elliot. Of course, he's sitting back here. I was so happy that he could travel with me, and I just want to tell you he's such an asset. Many of you may not know, Elliot was raised in a family of Cubans in Tampa, Florida, and Spanish was actually his first language. So he speaks Spanish still pretty well and was an extreme asset to me as we travel about. I don't speak Spanish at all. I know about 10 words in Spanish, and 5 of them I can't pronounce correctly, so that's the limit of my Spanish. But Elliot was especially useful as we were communicating with brethren, and when we were in a worship assembly and a Spanish speaker was talking, whether it was David Rafe or one of the other brethren there, Elliot was sitting right beside me and translating all of that, so I knew what was going on in the assembly. Again, very, very helpful. And he fit in well with the brethren. The brethren just loved him. The kids loved him. And so it was a great experience for him. And I'm sure you can talk to him about all of that. On the other end of that line of men is David Rafe. David is a nephew-in-law, I think, of Brent Sioda's, but he's others may know Jeff Smeltzer, his father-in-law, who preaches up north. But David and his family actually lived, and he preached in Guatemala for 6 years. He speaks the language very, very fluently, knows all of the guys that we support and a lot of others, knows the culture very, very well, and just invaluable as a travel companion. Really, I'd been waiting to take this trip at a time when David could go with me, because I didn't want to go without him. So the church here also helped send David down. So those are the three Americans that went. And then the four guys that you see in the middle there, these are the men that we support. Starting from the left, that's Geronimo Koch. And then next to him is Jose Humberto. Next to him is Hilmar Perez. And then Luis Carlos. I want to tell you a little bit about the support that Eastside sends down to Guatemala to evangelize, and particularly about these men. Eastside has been supporting evangelism in Guatemala since the late 1980s. So for well over three decades, we've been supporting men to preach the gospel down there. Geronimo, the man that you see on the left, was one of the first ones that we supported. I believe our support for him goes back to the late 1980s. His brother, Jose Maria Koch, was also supported for that long a period of time. And another man by the name of Francisco Ventura should be mentioned as well. Jose, Maria, and brother Geronimo that you see in this picture planted several churches, one of them in sort of their hometown of Rio Bravo, and we visited that church. Later, in the history of things, Geronimo moved up to work with brethren, established a church really in Quetzaltenango, which resulted in churches being established there, one of which Hilmar, the third from the left, now works with. So that's sort of Hilmar's connection to Geronimo and some of the work that's done in that area. As I said, Geronimo had a brother by the name of Jose Maria, and I want to tell you about him sort of as a prelude to the rest of our trip and to understanding kind of what's going on there. Jose Maria, Geronimo's brother, moved his family to Medellin, which is the first city that we visited on this trip. He established a church there and worked there for many, many years. One of his daughters married Jose Humberto, who is the second from the left there. Another one of his daughters, another one of Jose Maria's daughters, married Luis Carlos, who's the guy to the right on the end. I want you to see that these two, the two younger preachers there, have a direct connection to Jose Maria, whose work helped bring them to Christ and establish them in the faith and enable them to work in the vineyard, as both of them would tell you. So Jose Maria and Geronimo, both very, very important figures in the work in Guatemala. One day we're down there, we got to visit Jose Maria's grave. And I have to tell you a little bit about that. On July 6th, 2020, Jose Maria sadly and unexpectedly passed away from COVID. In the midst of strict government restrictions and a lot of tears on our part here and their part down there, Jose Maria's body was nonetheless transported from Palin to Rio Bravo by Luis, where Jose Humberto and the brethren there had prepared a tomb for his burial. You see Jose Maria there holding up books. Those are song books, books which he wrote, and which are still widely used in the churches that in Guatemala. In fact, I think we sang out of those books more than not in the various number of churches that we visited. He being dead yet speaks. Here's a man that Eastside supported for years and the legacy of his labor is still being felt strongly in Guatemala in a great number of churches. And in these two men, his sons-in-law, Luis Carlos and Jose Humberto, who are faithful to the Lord and striving to do his will. I just wanted to give you that background and to know that you at Eastside, we here, had a part in all of that, in the support that we gave, the love that we had, and the fellowship that we had with Jose Maria. It's an important part to understand. Well, we went to Palin first, as I mentioned. This is where Luis Carlos and his lovely family work. Loida, his wife, with their children. Luis Carlos not only works with the church in Palin, but also at the church at Masagua, which I'll tell you about in just a minute. But this is the same group that Jose Maria worked with. In fact, they're living in the same house, which is adjoins the building here in Palin. So we get there Saturday, and the brethren already have stuff planned for us, including 3 hours, mind you, of sermons, of lessons, that Saturday night. I preached 1.5 hours. David Ray preached 1.5 hours. And this is the kind of thing we experienced everywhere we went. The brethren not only would ask you to preach, but they would ask you to preach for minimum was 1 hour, I think, and 1.5 hours, 2 hours sometimes. We want you to go this length of time. This is how much time you have. This is how much we want you to take. And so oftentimes also they would assign you a topic to discuss. In this case, they'd ask David to preach about 1 Corinthians 5, and they asked me to speak on God's authority and the pattern for his church. So that went well into Saturday night, and we were thrilled with the study, thrilled with the participation. Sunday morning, we get up again in Palin, preaches from Isaiah 59. I taught on the church's use of the collection for 1.5 hours. And again, everybody sitting there listening, taking all of that in, taking notes, and talking to us about it after the services were over. So great morning with the saints in Palin, but it didn't end in the morning because later on that night, much later, after a very hard, long day, several individuals come back and have just a whole lot of questions that they want to ask me and David. And thankfully, Elliot was there to help a little bit along with some of the translations. This went on for some long time. They had all sorts of questions about all sorts of things, controversial issues that they're having down there, various aspects of work of the church, and so on and so forth. So we had a good study with them Sunday night. In between those two studies, or I should say the Sunday morning worship and then this evening question and answer session, we drove out over 1 hour to a place called Masagua, where Luis is working with a church. He goes there every week, I think, in the afternoons to work with this church. This congregation, which you see gathered there in the little meeting place that they have, has exactly one man that keeps things going besides Luis. So Luis goes down, and this one man, he's active in trying to evangelize his neighbors. A number of these women have sort of come to be a part of this, just not in the not too distant past. So this church is a young, growing church. Luis is working with it and seems to be just a great group of people. We were with them all through the afternoon and then drove back to Palin for the late night study. Spent 2 nights in Palin and the better part of a day and a half. Next day, we leave Palin to drive down to Rio Bravo, which is a couple hours drive. And then we're going to go out from Rio Bravo to San Juan Batista. That's the name of the town. Obviously, in English, that translates to St. John the Baptist, but that's the name of the town we go to, and that's what the church is referred to as well. As we're leaving Palin, you see a volcan fuego erupting there, which it does with some regularity, but kind of neat to see a erupting volcano as you're driving along the road. So we go down. Here we are, Palin, down to Rio Bravo. And then out from Rio Bravo to San Juan Batista. Our host now in Rio Bravo is Jose Humberto, his wife Alva, and their beautiful family. I just want to say a little bit about Jose Humberto. Jared was with me, along with Will Sciotta, 6.5, almost 7 years ago, when we visited Jose Humberto. And Jared and I were talking about this morning. Their home was rough. They were living in essentially a tin can made out of corrugated steel, and the walls were of this, you know, corrugated steel stuff that had been used for somebody else's roof because they had nail holes in them at one point. And it was, I mean, it would not have, most of us, I mean, it would have been a shed for most of us in America. And he was living on land that didn't belong to him. It was beside a railroad, so the government let people live there if they could put up some kind of a structure. It was not a very great place. At that period of time, after we came back from that trip, the elders here decided to increase Jose Humberto's support significantly, which he greatly needed with his family. And because of that, he was able to buy a piece of ground. His father happens to be a builder. Jose himself is a tremendous carpenter, and he was able to build him a nice home for he and his family to live in. Well deserved. And this is where they're working out of. Mind you, it's still a Guatemalan home. They do not have the things that we take for granted in their homes. But very happy to see Jose and his family in a much better living condition. From there that day, still that afternoon, out to meet with the church at San Juan Bautista. Good group meeting there. Jose travels up here with some regularity, I think once a month, to visit with this church. They have a man that's working there, but don't really have a solid regular preacher, I think. But a good group of people. And as ever, after we meet, we go to one of the brethren's home and they have to feed us. I'm not going to show you pictures of all of that all the time, but it happened everywhere we went. So we're eating all in food 3 and 4 times a day, everywhere we go, and appreciate the brethren so much for their love. Again, David and I preach for an hour or two at a time at this place. The road out there was rough, but the place we went the next day, La Campesina, and Gary, you can appreciate this from our travels in Africa. Very much like the African roads, if not worse at some times. Just really, really tough. Here you see a ford that's kind of washed out that we're traveling over after some rain. Going out to La Campesina. This is a group, again, Jose goes up there periodically, and the brethren appreciate him. They have a block building to meet in. They meet kind of on two sides. It's like they have two sides, but they don't have the middle. So in order to get everybody, I had to take a picture of one side and picture of the other sides. But that's the group that meets at La Campesina. And just a good, loving, work group of people who are desiring to serve the Lord in unity. Their unity had been somewhat disrupted by a teacher who had come in and caused a few problems, but they worked to get back together, and we could see a lot of desire to work as one in this place. After we met, we went to a brother's house not far away, and here are some of the sisters at La Campesina gathering there, couple of the children, and a number of the men. I'm not showing you the big spread of food they gave us and all of that sort of thing as well, but these are several of the men that are gathered around. There's Elliot and David in the midst. And what we're doing is we're singing. Again, since I don't know Spanish, that's kind of hard for me to do, but they're singing in Spanish. And the man that you see in the middle of the picture, his name is Pedro, and he's blind. He's been blind for about 6 years, went blind slowly, and then finally completely lost his sight. He has the most beautiful voice, singing voice, that you can imagine. He knows every song in the songbook by heart and leads singing. Sometimes he just goes out in the village and sings to people who are passing by, sing songs of praise. He said, I can't do much anymore, but I can sing. It's what I can do to glorify God. It's what I can do for the Lord. These are the kind of people we met all along the way. People devoted to the Lord, who are what they are because of the gospel of Christ that's been shared with them by faithful evangelists. That night, day's not over yet, travel back over that rough road, go to meet with the church at Rio Bravo. Jose used to work with this church. In fact, it's very close to where he lives. But he's working with a couple of other churches that I'll tell you about in a little while. But the church at Rio Bravo, I'd visited there before and preached there before, and they asked me to come and speak to them about a particular topic, the relationship between the church and the preacher. They're having trouble understanding some of that, and so they asked me to speak for an hour and then have a half an hour question and answer session, which actually went longer than that. So we were there about 2 hours in a situation where, again, some of the brethren were having some trouble and disagreements with some of these questions, but it was all very pleasant. They listened very carefully. They asked good questions. They listened to the answers of those questions. So I thought the evening just went very, very well with this good church, and we enjoyed that time with them. They also, I mentioned Jose Humberto having the new house. They have a new church building since the last time I was there. It's very nice and commodious. So we enjoyed being with them that evening. Wednesday, we spent a little bit of time in the morning going around the town of Rio Bravo, which we enjoyed just seeing that, took a taxi ride and all that sort of thing. But in the afternoon, we go out to Morazan. And Morazan is one of the churches that Jose works with. In fact, it's the main one that he's with now. He's here virtually every Sunday. The drive out there is a drive through miles and miles of sugarcane. Now, that's not unusual for Guatemala. They grow tons and tons and tons of sugarcane. You see it everywhere. But it impressed me that we just drove through field after field after field of sugarcane to get to this place, and across a river as well. So wind up at Morazan. They have a meeting place, again, fairly commodious. There are chickens and pigs around. I didn't take pictures of them, but I could have. There was one right outside where I was sitting. I could look at the pig the whole time. There's chickens that were wandering in and out and around. But that, again, happened several places. Any place that's open in Guatemala, you're going to have chickens running around. So that happened several places as well. But again, good group, growing group. Jose Humberto has been working with them for some time, and we appreciated our time with them on that afternoon. Spent a good bit of time there, actually. Again, we were fed and all of that good stuff. So good place and a good work that Jose is with there. The next morning, we're preparing to leave Rio Bravo, and we visit Irma. This is Jose Maria's widow, okay? When Jose Maria passed, she was living in Pauline, really didn't know what to do. Brethren there, and with some help from brethren here, got her moved down to Rio Bravo, where she's closer to family. She has a little home there that she lives in, again, not far from Jose Humberto. And she got to talking to us about how thankful to God she was and is for all of the brethren who have helped her. She has some pretty good health problems as well. But all of the brethren who helped her and comforted her through her widowhood, in the difficult times of her health, and she broke down in tears. We all broke down in tears as she expressed her great thanksgiving including thanksgiving to the brethren here for helping her get settled after Jose Maria passed away. Again, this has just been a couple of years, and she's still struggling, but very blessed, and she recognizes that and is so appreciative of it. From Rio Bravo, we would travel to Bracitos. New Bracitos, actually, is where Geronimo works and lives. But before we did that, you might see on this map, if you can make it out, between Rio Bravo and Bracitos, up to the north, you see a town called Masatenango. It came to our attention that there was an elderly sister in the church in Rio Bravo, where we'd visited the night before, two nights before, that was not able to get to church and would not be able to get to church unless she had a wheelchair. So we decided we were going to buy a wheelchair for this lady. Well, we didn't think we could buy one in Rio Bravo. The town's just not big enough. And Jose Humberto says, well, I think there'll be places to buy wheelchairs in Masatenango, which is a much, much larger city. So we go to Masatenango. I'm assuming we're going to know where to buy a wheelchair, but that was not the case. We did not know where to find the wheelchair. So we went to this shopping center. It wasn't there. Then we tried. Anyway, we wound up wandering around this fairly large town, separated from one another for a long time, finding the places that sold the wheelchair. We finally found two places and actually did a price comparison and bought a wheelchair for this sister, the money for which came from individuals here at Eastside that were given me to take care of needs like this when we go to Guatemala. So, long story longer, here is the wheelchair tied to the top of the vehicle we were riding on the right. That's Elliot and Luis and Jose making sure it's tied down. This is the second day it's been tied to the top of that vehicle. Eventually, Jose and Luis will drive back to Rio Bravo and deliver the wheelchair to the lady who you see here in the picture. Her name is Juana. And she was just so, so thankful. They sent a video of her saying thanks in Spanish. And it was very, very heartwarming, of course, but I could have played it, but I didn't put it on. But anyway, she was extremely thankful for those who helped her get in the wheelchair so she could attend worship services again at Rio Bravo. Anyway, we go on to New Bracitos on Thursday the 24th. And this is where Geronimo lives and preaches. The meeting place of the church is actually a structure on Geronimo's property. Here's the group of saints meeting this Thursday afternoon and evening. A good group there. And something else was interesting. They had hired a man, wasn't a Christian. They just hired him to come and video that service with David and I preaching that evening to broadcast on the internet, on his Facebook page, and I think elsewhere as well, so that people anywhere could see that. I assume you could still go to it. I may have the link somewhere if you want to watch what went on that night as far as our preaching that evening. But it was a good gathering, and we enjoyed. You see the man there with the video at the bottom left, on the far left side. That's what they're doing. As I mentioned, Geronimo is just a superhuman being, a great brother in Christ, so knowledgeable, very knowledgeable of scriptures in a deep way, understands what would be controversial issues either here or in Guatemala, can sort through them with a lot of wisdom and grace, and is just such an encouraging person to be around. Some of you may remember that the last time we went in 2016, Geronimo's first wife had just passed away, and he was having a really difficult time getting over that. About a year later, he remarried, and he remarried this dear lady. Her name is Julia. If you find her on Facebook, it's Marta Alonso, is her name. But she's just a sweet lady, a good match for Geronimo, and they work together well in the kingdom. I appreciated getting to know her a little bit. She's really concerned about the truth and her family doing what is right. She demonstrated a great concern for that. And as the others had, as Alva had in Rio Bravo, and as had and Loida in Paline, she took care of us so very well, feeding us, working with her hands night and day to make sure that we were taken care of. The next day, we're going up to La Máquina, which is normally would be about 45 minutes away, but a bridge is washed out, so now it's an hour and a half away. But this is another church that Geronimo works with and has been working with some good effect. That's his truck. That's Geronimo's truck. And so a bunch of the people from Bracitos loaded into the truck to go to be with us up at La Máquina. And the truck broke down on the way. Of course, that happened. We were almost there, and it broke down. So it had to be towed and then pushed when we got there. So that's the guys all doing that. But we had a really wonderful day, several hours, staying at La Máquina. And there's a picture on the left of me preaching with David translating, and a pretty good crowd of people there. Some visitors from other places came as well, besides the one that came up from Bacitas. And the main brother here, and the one whose this is, his name is Mario. And so he hosted all of this at his home. And again, you just have these moments toward the end of it all. Mario gets up and he addresses the assembly. Geronimo's there listening to him. Elliot's translating this for me. Elliot's sitting beside me translating this for me. And Mario is basically saying how great it is to be a Christian. But he's also saying how hard it is to be a Christian. And in his neighborhood, when they talk to others about Jesus, it's so hard to get people to have an interest, to bring them to a point where they see their need for Jesus and the difficulties in that. But his sincerity in doing that, his heart of compassion for those who turn their ears away from Jesus, you could just hear it in his voice. You could see it in the things that he was saying. And I thought a very powerful message to share with us. The next day, we leave Bracitos and go up to Quetzaltenango to visit Hilmar. Hilmar had come down to La Máquina, and drives us up to his place. And it would have been a good drive. I was a little sick that day. Actually, I was a lot sick that day, so didn't enjoy it that much. But we did get there safely, and things went well. The church was meeting that night. They were actually having a regularly scheduled gospel meeting with a preacher by the name of Elder Mendez. He very graciously agreed to share some of his time with us, the gringo preachers that were coming through. So we got to spend some time preaching there as well, and very thankful to Elder for sharing some of his time. This is Hilmar and his family, and I need to pause just a minute to tell you a little bit about Hilmar. He was the one I knew the least, and he's the one we supported most recently, started supporting most recently. Just a couple of years, I think, we've been supporting Hilmar here, although he's been preaching for some long time. The little boy that you see there in the picture, his name is Alan. And he is the son of Maria's niece, Maria's Hilmar's wife. He has been fairly neglected by his mom due to alcohol and drugs. And so Hilmar and Maria have taken him in as a foster child. They're planning to adopt him, hoping to finalize that perhaps in January. Again, that gives you some insight into the kind of people Hilmar and his family are. Two of Hilmar's children, Gabby, that you see there on the left, and Angel, who you see behind Maria, are both afflicted with congenital eye diseases. The disease causes the retina to detach, I should say, just kind of without warning. Gabby has already lost one of her eyes as a result of that. She's blind in one eye. And Angel recently had surgery to try to keep the retina attached. It was trying to unattach, and he just very recently, within the last month, had surgery for that. We left them with a couple of $100 to finish paying off the debt that they had on that surgery for him. But this is a struggle that they have with these children and their eyesight. Brian, who is the other child that you see there on the end, also may have the trouble, and they're testing him for that. So this is something to keep in mind in your prayers regarding him and his family. They're just delightful people, so loving and so involved in the work. I'm able on Sunday to visit with them. This is the gathering for the Sunday morning service at Pacha. You see Elliot standing there in front of the place where they meet. This is actually kind of a strip mall, and they meet on one end of it is their meeting place there. To the right in this picture, you see Henry Koch and his family. Henry is the son of Geronimo and is one of the most faithful members here. He and his family, very supportive of the work in Pacha. And we're thankful that Henry is also there working with Hilmar in this work. So we had a good day at Pacha. David and I shared preaching time, as I said, with Elder Mendez, who was holding a scheduled gospel meeting. And got to spend some time in the homes of the members as well that afternoon. Guatemala is a lovely country. The Christians that we met along the way are just absolutely inspirational in their faith, in their devotion to God's Word. I'll say this about them, about the Christians that we met along the way. They, for the most part, are very knowledgeable. They're deep into Bible study. They bring their Bibles to worship service and Bible classes, and they want you to get into the text, to explain it, and they don't care how long it takes. They're loving God's Word, and they have a lot of knowledge of God's Word. They have the ability to understand when something's being told them that doesn't sound quite right. And if that's the case, they'll have questions about it. And they'll want to study about that among themselves and with anybody else who will talk to them about it. Those are the kind of people that we saw everywhere we went. We also saw people who were giving, who were loving, who were hospitable, to a fault hospitable, just willing to share anything they had with you, invite you into their homes, feed you whatever they have, give you whatever they had, just all along the way, from the littlest children to the oldest of the adults. This was the attitude of brothers and sisters there. So these are maturing churches who enjoy deep study. The four evangelists that we support, I can say without equivocation, are hardworking evangelists. I mean hardworking, continuing to strive to spread the gospel, but also to build up these churches, some of which are younger in the faith. These preachers all have good wives, excellent families who are supportive of their work. And all of them, all of the preachers, their wives, express deep appreciation for and thanksgiving for the love and the support that they receive from this church. Brothers and sisters, I want us to understand, as I say so often, about this kind of thing. We are in a true fellowship. It's not only that we are all part of the body of Christ, but we are sharing in the work of these evangelists. I encourage you to read their reports. Some of them are rough because the Spanish-English translation never comes across just right, but read their reports. Understand who these people are and what they're doing for the cause of Christ. Give thanks for them. Pray about them. I'm thankful for being sent on this trip. I know Elliot is too. If you want to talk to him, he can tell you about his impressions as well. He'd be happy to do that. And David, I know, feels the same way. David just wanted me to express thanks to Eastside for helping send him along with us to accomplish this work. So thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. And remember what a great body of Christ we're all a part of. Well, I say all, but maybe not all. Because there could be someone here this morning who's never named the name of Jesus. Who's never come in contact with the blood of Christ, and hence you've never been buried into Christ. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? We're all in the body, because we were baptized into the body. That's what 1 Corinthians 12 teaches. But if you haven't done that this morning, you're not part of this great worldwide body of the saved. Won't you become part of it? It's great. It's the same group of folks that's going to be in heaven. It's where you want to be. If you'd like to be a part of the body of Christ, we'd ask you to come while we stand and while we sing.